Welcome to Aggressive Life. What's the magic three-letter word that gets everyone's attention, Dirt? What's your...
I know what the magic three-letter word is.
What? Dirt is four letters.
Dirt is four letters. It's sex.
Sex. S-E-X. I'm talking about sex, baby. I'm talking about you and me.
I shouldn't be
looking at you when I say I'm talking... That's dirty. That's dirty. Are you doubting yet? Today I'm joined by three friends who have made it the focus of their life to help have the greatest sex possible. Three of us kitties, me, Alana, and Tierra. Through podcasts, content, resources, and coaching, the team at Kingdom Sexuality is looking to help couples develop deeper levels of intimacy and connection, because when couples thrive, everything else around them thrives as well. Sex is powerful. It is also complicated. It's a physical act that has relational, emotional, and spiritual ties and impacts all of those realms as well, let alone, obviously, physical ties. Today, we're going to unpack all of that and more with Alana and Tierra, the hosts of Kingdom Sexuality Podcast and the current leaders of the movement. I ran into the work around Valentine's Day when someone sent me a copy of their Red Hot Valentine Sex Challenge book. It was 14 days of teaching, guidance, and ideas ranging from beginner to extra spicy to heat things up in the bedroom. And what I love about these ladies and guys, like one of the guys here with us today, it's just me and these two ladies. What I love about these folks is not only their heart to help couples thrive, but they don't mince words. Their wisdom is aggressive, it's actionable, and if you put it into practice, things are going to heat up. Today is going to be fun. So if you've got kids, it's your call. And if they listen to this or not, personally, I would say they should. With kids, I was always first to market. That's what we're going to do. If you're a parent, you always want to be first to market. You don't want to be answering questions they find out about someplace else. You want to be first to market. You want to get a foothold in there. And even if it's funny or stuff that's, I don't think we're going to get raunchy today, but spicy.
Spicy.
Spicy, like might spicy. You say? Hey, it's good for kids to hear those words and those concepts in a safe place. Protecting your little kids' ears, trying to shield them from this very important thing is not good. It's like trying to protect your kids from budgeting or from healthy finances. They may not be into it. Fine. Don't push it on them. But if they can understand, the earlier, the better. So, welcome to the Aggressive Life. Alana and Tierra and Kingdom Sexuality.
Thank you so much. Oh,
thanks for having us. I don't think we've ever had an intro like that. I feel empowered.
Yeah, I know. I've never actually said Kingdom Sexuality in an announcer's voice, but it works, you know. So tell me, you were two just pretty much straight-laced, buttoned-up women who seem like you're just doing well in life. What gets you so into talking sex? Let's go back and talk about what the beginning of this whole thing was.
Yeah. So I started Kingdom Sexuality back in 2020, and it was just coming from an overflow of having this passion in my life to talk about sex and intimacy with people around me and with my friends, and just like being the first one to start those conversations. And I was like, oh my goodness, like my friends have questions about this stuff too. I had questions as well. Like I had just had my oldest son, and I was like, man, like when we, you know, after that postpartum healing time, when we can be intimate again, I want it to be better, and I want, you know, things to grow. And I was looking into resources, and I found some, but I couldn't find tons. And so then this passion in my heart was like, okay, like, what does this look like? Like to, you know, talk about intimacy with protecting my own marriage and relationship and whatever. So, and then it was kind of from there, one of my mentors was like, you should start a podcast. And so started then. So there it is.
So what's the link with sex and Christianity? I've said a number of times, I probably need to stop saying it, that this is not a faith podcast. It's just things that I find interesting that we need to take an aggressive slant towards. But what happens on the podcast is things that I'm interested in. And most of the time, those things are faith-oriented, you know? People don't think of sex as faith-oriented or quote-unquote Christian. I thought Christians, many people would think, are supposed to be just anti-sex or only to procreate. So give us your faith link into why this is important to you.
Yeah, I think many Christian couples don't really know where to go for resources, specifically like if they're wanting like wholesome resources. Because if you can Google whatever you want, but you're maybe not going to find, like, as a Christian, resources that you're going to be able to apply to your marriage and to your sex life. And so for us, being able to be a landing place for those harder conversations or answering questions that couples have but don't know where to go with them. So that's kind of our hearts towards this. And we want to be that safe landing place where anybody, because there's a bunch of non-Christians who follow us as well, but where they can come and ask their questions and we'll be willing to answer them.
And I think coming out of purity culture, so many, you almost feel dirty trying to find stuff to help your sex life. Like it's not something, it's just, so with our platform, we like to recognize that and give them tools and, discussion questions, like prompting kind of things so that they can start talking about things in their marriage and not feel dirty about it and go at the pace that they need to go. So it's not just going from like, yeah, purity culture too, for lack of a better term, hard sex. You know, we help with making it be a priority in a godly, healthy way.
Yeah, that's a good point about, you know, the purity culture. I've reflected on this a lot recently. When I was 14, started 14, you know, for the average male at 14, like, sex is on the brain all the time. Like non-stop. When I first came to know Christ and I started reading the words of Jesus, and he says, if your eye caused you to sin, poke it out. If your hand caused you to sin, cut it off. And I remember thinking, am I supposed to cut my dick off right now? Like, because yeah. this is just horrible. It's never, ever off the mind. So you're constantly trying to suppress, trying to stay away from things, trying to have your heart right. And when you're doing that, that's what you're talking about, purity culture, like a culture of let me try to maintain some sexual purity. It's a really hard turn to go from that for years and years to all of a sudden I'm on the honeymoon in the bedroom and all is good. I mean, intellectually, you know that it's all good. Spiritually, you know it's all good. Biblically, you know it's all good when you're in marriage. But man, the energy you've been spending to suppress, it's a hard turn.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And so many, especially Christians, I think, can get wrapped up in their virginity as like their identity.
Yes.
And it completely becomes who you are. And so to just kind of release that and become a married person, it's like losing a piece of yourself to a degree where you're like, oh my goodness, who am I? And what is this? And yeah, it's really difficult.
Yeah, and you're just thinking to keep yourself somewhat pure. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And also, no, it's not anymore. No, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then it's also like when you hear people talk about it, and I'm talking about those of us who came to Christ as students or in student ministry, when you hear people talk about it, so it's always a 1-2 punch, right? It's one, don't do it. Two, when you're married and you do it, it's awesome. And so you just have this thing of, oh my gosh, when it happens, what happens? Like unicorns come dancing in the room. Like there's an eruption of ecstasy everywhere. And then you have the first time, you're like, all right, yeah, kind of feels like I just masturbated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is like a bizarre switch to try and flip, right? But I don't think it's possible. Like, I think you really have to, it requires so much of your mind to like, to just over time, just be like, okay, no, there is no shame in this now. Like, this is a beautiful thing. And this is the way God intended it to be. And I think we all expect too, like you said before, you know, it's like, this is bad. But when you're married, it's amazing. And there's unicorns and dancing and fireworks. So we expect that. But then no one actually tells us that this is like a skill, like learning to play basketball running a marathon, where you're going to have to practice to get better at it. We just anticipate it's going to be magical the first time. But what is in life? Like, what just is perfect the first time? Like, things require practice, and this sex is no different.
Boy, that's a great point. Practice. Well, and also, when it's hard for me not to bring my background and baggage to this, but I think a lot of people in their 20s are like this, or even in their 30s, when you are now with your spouse, it's even hard talking about how it's going and what mm-hmm. would have been better for you and what would have been better for them. It's just a conversation that's just kind of off limits, or you feel really awkward about it.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been married now for 36 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. 36 years. And we turned the corner on a few things just in the last couple years. And yeah, we often think, my gosh, why weren't we able to talk about this? If we were able to mm-hmm. talk about it, and I think we weren't able to talk about, at least me, not able to talk about it as easily, is you feel talking about it means you're not doing something right. And that means you're yes. failing. And no one wants to feel like mm-hmm. they're failing. And as soon as you start to feel like you're failing, you know, it's really hard to perform, at least for a guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's like one of the biggest things pretty much in every single episode we do is communication. Like mm-hmm. That's the start of everything. And I think by using us as an example, to start listening to our episodes or go on our Instagram and do the prompts that we suggest, it slowly makes the topic of sex easier to bring up. You don't get that like instant, I can't believe I'm talking about this. Why wouldn't I talk about this? And the prompts that we give allow you to say it in a way that doesn't come across as confrontational, so that there isn't that defensive, you know, argumentative thing that could come up or make you feel like a failure. You know, it's brainstorming together as a team. Like, how can we get better as a team with this and make this more fun?
Well, even to talk about positions, I just speak as a guy, even to talk about positions for a lot of guys can be very difficult and then hurt the likelihood you're going to have an erection. You know, because, mm-hmm. you know, the biggest sex organ in our bodies is our brain. You know, and once, yeah. and once you're thinking about something, it makes it really difficult. I mean, I tell my wife all the time, like, hey, you can perform at any time. You may not necessarily enjoy it, but all you got to do is spread your legs. You're good to go, even if you're not into it. But me, I mean, something's got to happen down there. And mm-hmm. and if you're thinking something else, or you're thinking you're not having the right position, or she wants you in a different position, or she wants yeah. that little bit of stress is enough for a lot of dudes just to make it, you know, I can't do it. I'm done. Are you saying I'm not capable, or are you saying this? Or it's really, yeah. really rough.
Yeah. And even that, like, trying to get into a different position, and it's like, well, you're not doing it right, or, you know, you just got to be this way, or, you know, there's that opportunity for miscommunication and like that huffiness of like, well, you're not doing this right. Or like,
right.
and then the whole mood is gone. Like right. no one wants to have sex if they're feeling frustrated. And right. So yeah, I can totally see what you're saying.
I would say though, like, again, communication is such a big thing. Like, use words as if you're a team, you know, not like, hey, you're in the wrong spot. You know, like, yeah. hey, let's make this a little better. Can you try shifting over to this part? You know, mm-hmm. so that, again, just teamwork and to make sure that you are communicating. You know, I know sometimes, you know, my face will show exactly what I'm, and it's like, well, no, he's not a mind reader, and maybe I am enjoying it and I'm just have my face in a funny way. You know, like, no, use your words. And yeah. you know, no, this doesn't hurt, even though it looks like I might be giving a hurt face, you know. So like, use your words if you want to change things, or play around. Like, say what feels good, say what you want to shift, and do it in team language.
So how much is a great experience, sexual experience, how much is physical mechanics, and how much is the spiritual emotional aspect? How would you say those two interplay?
I think emotional is huge. Like, to think about having that physical sexual experience with someone, like with your spouse, if you're not having that emotional connection, like, there's going to be that big distance, right? And like, you're not going to feel connected to want to have that with them if you're feeling off emotionally. Like, if there's stuff bubbling under the surface, or a fight is like brewing, or, you know, things like that, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to be like fully in that with them. It's possible completely, but I think there definitely is a connection there.
Yeah. Also, you know, like, if you're having sex and say you haven't been communicating what you like, what you don't like, and I'm thinking more in particular for women, our brain gets trained with what is good and what is not good. And so if you're just having sex that doesn't feel awesome, your brain goes, yeah, we could take that or leave it. As time goes on, sex is not something that the brain actually is wanting. And so arousal becomes way more difficult. Enjoyment of sex becomes way more difficult. So it's emotional, mental, and physical too. Like you need to communicate or try new things. If things aren't feeling good or pleasurable, you're not going to want them.
Mm-hmm. So were both of you ladies, when you got married in your honeymoon, was it the first time you had sex with your husbands on your honeymoon?
Yes.
Yes. You could say no. It's okay to say no. No judgment here. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land here. For some reason, I don't understand how we haven't been cracking more innuendos here. It feels a little stiff to me. It feels like we need some Kegel floor exercises. We need some lubrication here. We need to loosen up. Okay. So when you were on your honeymoon, what was it like for you initially? What were the breakthroughs? Like, did you go from a 2 in satisfaction to a 9 right now? Were you always a 7? You just started off really good. It was pretty natural. I mean, what's your story on that stuff?
That's a good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that.
Yeah, because no one wants to talk about sex. I'm talking about it.
Yeah. For me, I remember having a conversation with friends after, being in that first year of marriage and being like, it's like there's that you always like want to have sex before you get married. You're like, having all these boundaries in place so you don't. And I was like, if we did, I would have been really disappointed. Like because you have sex the first time and you're like, there was no fireworks. Like that was it. That was fine. Like, and so for me initially, I don't know if I put a number to it, got better as we practiced more, but it was
just
definitely
inflate
lower
it. Inflate
at the beginning.
Your number by 5 in case your husband's listening to you right now. So,
yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, at the beginning, I don't know, let's say a 4. And then for me, I wasn't even be able to have my first orgasm until 6 years into marriage. Hmm. So, still great, still connecting with my spouse, still enjoyable for me, but it got to a whole new level. After I had my first child, and I was like, okay, I need to do some research here because I just expected an orgasm would happen all on its own. One day you're having normal penetrative sex and that's just normal. Everything's, typical. And one day, bam, I'll have an orgasm. And I was like, 6 years in, still not happening. So I should probably do some research and see what it's going to take because I just assumed that was my lot in life. I just wasn't going to have orgasms. And then I was hearing friends talking about they were having multiple orgasms. And I was like, wait a second. If they can have more than one, I should at least be able to have one. And that's what kind of started the whole passion for this podcast to begin was I was like, okay, I need to do some research here. And because I think coming from the purity culture where you're encouraged, don't look, don't touch, I went into marriage not knowing what felt good at all. So I think it required me to, pull up my socks and be like, okay, I need to figure out what feels good. And as a woman coming from that as my past, that was a really difficult step to take because, it's just so ingrained in you to not, don't look, don't touch. And so, I think then, of course, skyrocketed.
6 years. That was your 6 years. Yep. That was your first orgasm in your life?
I mean, maybe there was one where you're like, oh, that was kind of close. But I was like intentionally getting there. Yeah, 6 years.
Was it as good as you thought it would be once you had your first orgasm?
Yes.
Yes. She said yes.
It was a game changer because even thinking about, couples who are struggling and, stereotypically, let's say the woman isn't desiring it. It's like, well, is she feeling pleasure? Like, is she enjoying this? Is she able to have an orgasm? Because that will hugely affect how much she's going to want this. Because if she's not feeling great and if it's not making her feel really, really good and pleasurable, it's still good and still connecting and still enjoyable in ways, but there's like a whole nother level once you're actually able to make it really pleasurable.
So you have the ability to change a lot of people's lives right now, because I think this is pretty common, not having an orgasm while having intercourse. Mm-hmm. What are your, mm-hmm. what's your checklist, tips, growth process for that?
Thinking about it in general, I think there's a lot of other things to think about too, other than just like the physicality of it. Like we mentioned before, like one thing Kyle, so the other team member who's not here today with us, but one thing he likes to ask his spouse, like his wife, is like, how's your mental load right now? And for her to be able to express like, okay, actually, you know, things are really great, or actually I've got a lot on my mind. And so, you know, it's kind of sucking my mental capacity because I'm thinking about, you know, getting the kids to school. I got to make lunches. Someone's got an interview. Someone's got a meeting. It's, you know, et cetera. And so I think, you know, starting maybe there and writing down, like I call it a parking lot, where I just write down all the things that are on my mind and I just park them in my parking lot on a piece of paper. So it's out of my brain. So I don't have to think about it. And so maybe start there. But also, you know, thinking about like the clitoris and its role in that. And I think, like Tira, you might know more about like, cause I'm pretty sure it's a similar tissue. What was
it? To the tip of the penis.
Yeah, exactly. And so mm-hmm. being able to practice and utilize that and explore together as a couple to figure out what feels good and what movement feels good, or, you know, I think it's going to require a conversation to be like, mm-hmm. okay, when you do that, that's not good. When you do this, that's better. Mm-hmm. But to say it in a way that is loving and like, hey, I want us to figure this out. Because I'm sure as a husband, you're also going to want your wife to experience copious amounts of pleasure, right? Like, because then you'll enjoy it more because she enjoys it more. So it's mutually beneficial there.
Yeah.
We actually did a whole series on orgasm in our mm-hmm. podcast where we go into like all the details of the physical side, the mental side, all of that. So you can find, I would say that one is a good place also to start where mm-hmm. you can really dive in. And then you can also use that as a starting point for conversation too. If it feels like awkward to bring it up with your spouse, like, hey, by the way, this whole time I haven't been orgasming, right. You know, you can say, hey, I've been listening to this podcast and they brought up some cool things that I would like to try, you know, stuff like that. Like use resources like this episode here or whatever as the launching pad to start talking about it.
So if I sum that up, are you saying that first gateway is, are you emotionally one with your spouse, emotionally, spiritually? Are you talking? Are you in a good space? Do you feel they both feel valued? All that stuff. And then secondly, yeah. it's about positioning of the penis on the clitoris in a specific position.
I think it would be more like find out what pleasure the woman actually, like where it actually feels good. Some women, you won't be able to have the penis at all on the clitoris during intercourse. So it may not happen during intercourse. You might need to do other stimulation. Basically the whole sex is not just intercourse. It's the foreplay. It's the intercourse. It's the whole thing. And both parties get an orgasm.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the same question with different sex. So I want to ask, what's the most common traps men fall into? And then what's the most common traps that women fall into? So whichever one you want first, go.
Probably, okay, for men, often I think there's this thought that if I, you know, like depending on your wife's love language, like say she's an acts of service gal where she likes, you know, when you empty the trash, and that is like to her is how you're showing love. And so often I think men can get into this thing like, okay, well, if I do this, then I'll have sex, you know, then we'll have sex. And, you know, and so I think that can be a downfall to men where it's like, if I do XYZ, then this will be a result, when it's kind of a, we call it chore play.
Chore play.
Where it kind of goes,
I like that.
Goes south. Yeah. So I think that can be a difficult thing to navigate, and where it's like an expectation is, oh, well, I did the dishes. Like, so obviously we're going to have sex, where that totally changes. Like if my husband were to do those things, but not actually mention sex, that's when to me, I'm like, wow, like you were serving me and you were loving me. And now I feel like love and serve, you know, right? I want to serve you too. I want to love you too. So that's one that comes to mind for me.
Yeah. And I think for men too, obviously porn, that's mm-hmm. always the number one yes. thing.
Right.
That wreaks havoc in marriages. Really.
Right.
Like
massive.
There's so much to unpack in that. And I'm,
well, go ahead, unpack it. Give us, I mean, a lot of people don't understand why it's such a big deal. Go ahead. Take it by shot.
Well, it's, I mean, the biggest thing, it's addictive. And so it goes along with all of the behaviors that an addict would have. And so it takes a lot of work. It takes counseling. It takes mentorship and accountability and communication and healing and probably marriage counseling, depending on, you know, how extreme it was, is, you know, how the wife is feeling, how many years it's happened. There's a lot to go with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think every time that you are experiencing an orgasm by looking at a screen, like you're making these mental pathways in your brain that, you know, deepen over time. Like, this is what it is. This is intimacy. This is intimacy. And so I think that then causes troubles when you're actually having, you know, sex with your wife or your spouse. You know, obviously women can have porn addictions as well. So same, you know, both ways. But like, I think that's when it's difficult, when we get messages from people who are like, you know, my husband's actually having a really hard time performing during sex, and I don't know why. And oh, wait, now it's come out that he's struggled with porn. And so, you know, could this be related? And it's like, well, yeah, completely, because this is kind of his brain is in this one track of this is how I experience pleasure versus, you know, how do I translate that to your wife?
Yeah, right. This is what she looks like. And I find the pages where the prototypes exist in those. But this is what she looks like, which is rarely close to what your wife looks like. And this is what she does. This is what she does. And the main thing here is me. It trains you to be a selfish lover. It trains you to be, sex is all about you. You're not entering into another person's realm. You're not really trying to give them pleasure unless, you know, your porn fantasy is giving the other person pleasure, so you feel then that you're a powerful person. You know,
right?
It just creates a lot of tough stuff to deal with. It's not an innocent little, you know, problem.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So women, what's the most common traps for women?
I think we've talked a little bit about it, but like our mind. You know, if we have a lot of mental load and you just have such a hard time just letting go and be present in the moment, I think being able to receive pleasure is a big one. And the idea of sex, even especially coming from purity culture, that, okay, we need to make sure we're serving our husband so that he doesn't go to porn, he doesn't have an affair. You know, I need to make sure that I'm available to him. Again, that's all serving. It's us giving the pleasure, and to be able to be like, no, I can receive pleasure too, and to be open to that, and to be okay, no, my husband actually wants to give me pleasure, and it makes him happy as well. But that takes a lot of mindfulness and being present in the moment to do that. So it takes some work and some practice to be able to get our brains focused on what is actually happening, and to be able to let go and receive pleasure.
Are there, that you have heard, preachers / teachers / authors that are telling women, perform so he doesn't go to porn?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these people don't get immediately stoned?
Like, I think a lot of this too, like, was, and I don't know if these books are still, I mean, probably still coming out now and still popular, you know, to give a newlywed on their wedding, you know, as a wedding gift kind of thing. But I know, especially growing up, it was kind of like, that was what you were told, was just like, as a woman, you need to meet these needs or he'll have them met somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like the books will say it in a way like, well, you know, you together, you're wanting to protect your marriage. Here are some ways that you can protect your marriage. Mm-hmm. But it's all worded in a way that makes it feel like, oh yeah, that does seem like the Christian thing to do.
You know? I feel really conflicted about that. On the one hand, it sounds very abusive that might be a strong word. It sounds very, one-sided. What's the word I'm looking for? Enabling, maybe. It seems very enabling to tell a woman you've got to, you know, you got to put out just so bad stuff doesn't happen with them. That's, I don't know. That just smacks of, fear tactics, guilt tactics. Yeah. You know, those are never fun in the bedroom. Fear tactics and guilt tactics.
No.
On the other hand, I'll say, but then there's at least a kernel there. Like, I'm interacting with guys, a couple of them, who haven't had sex for 3 and 4 years. And and they're, why you look at them, oh, that's a good woman. Oh, that's a good one. No, she's not a good woman. She's not. When you've gone 4 years and you refuse to talk about it and you refuse even to go to counseling, and that guy says to me, man, he says to me, he goes, hey, one of them said to me, it's a very godly, good dude. He said, man, I'm struggling. I'm finding I'm masturbating every other week. And I go, that's all? One time every other week? and talking with his wife and like no movement at all, like nothing. Like no budge whatsoever. None.
Wow.
Yeah. That she is in that situation. These women, they're asking their husbands to do some really destructive things that are gonna reverberate at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely that is definitely not healthy. That is not there shouldn't be, like, Elena, you kind of mentioned it before. Like, if a woman is saying no,
I'm trying to think right now, Dirt. No? I don't know. I hope those guys' spouses don't listen the aggressive way, because they probably figure out. Maybe they should. Maybe this.
There's going to be some really good advice right now.
Yeah, right. Good. I'm sorry. Sorry, Tira. Keep going.
No, I mean, I think it's, they're definitely, I feel like as this rise of purity culture is coming to light, as we're going, it is kind of taking sometimes a more feminist movement of like, oh yeah, I deserve, I only need to have sex when I feel like I want it. And it's like, no, that's not it either. Like, no, this is, again, teamwork. And if there's a reason you keep saying no, that needs to be looked into. And yeah, that's not partnership. That's not doing your marriage well, and that it's not healthy. One of our favorite resources is a book, and there's a course too called Awaken Love by Ruth Buettz, and it is so good about helping women adjust our thinking towards sex and what God's intent was for a man and a woman to be together. She talks about all the different orgasms but also the mental and spiritual side of it too, and about how important it is to come together. And and sometimes you won't feel like you're in the mood for it, but to know that God designed it for us to receive pleasure, for us to for there to be benefit for us too. And so you need to be self-sacrificing. Both need to be self-sacrificing and evenly, if you can say that. Like,
you're serving one another. That's a big scriptural deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even submitting to one another. Yes.
Totally. I think a marriage is set up for success when both in the relationship are trying to outserve each other.
Yes. Yeah.
If you've never been to Man Camp and you're a man, what are you waiting for? Head on over to mancamp.us, claim your spot today. Registrations close on September 1st, so don't wait. Chop, chop. All the details you need can be found over at mancamp.us. Mancamp 2024 is happening September 27th to 29th in Southwest Ohio. And just for the listeners of The Aggressive Life, just for you, nobody else, the whole world gets this. Nobody but you. You can use the promo code Podcast 15 to get 15% off tickets right now. 15% off right now. That's podcast 15 to claim your spot at Man Camp for the cheapest price available. I hope to see you out there this fall, but for now, let's get on with the show. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions, at home, on a hunting trip, camping off my motorcycle, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to get moving. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to have it in the morning. I have a 12 ounce of water, so right off the bat, I'm helping my hydration every single morning. This is the one product, if I had to recommend one, I'd recommend this one to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why I partnered with them for 2 years. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. That's drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. Get yourself some. I just got a new grill slash smoker, and out of all the meat I'm cooking up, there's something that hits the spot like no other, a real American cheeseburger. And summer is the perfect time for burgers on the grill. Let me tell you, the best burgers come from Flying K Ranch. Well, actually, if you happen to down an elk, elk meat is unsurpassed. But most people aren't going to be able to have any of that. And when I got to buy burger, man, I want Flying K Ranch. Located in Findlay, Ohio, Flying K Ranch raises their beef the natural way. No hormones or antibiotics. Just happy cows eating grass all day. Flying K is a family business that ships all over America and partners with state and national certification boards to make sure cattle and customers are happy. Make your meals count this summer with some burgers and steaks from Flying K Ranch. Learn more and place your orders at flyingkranchangus.com. That's flyingkranchangus.com. Time to eat and time to get back to the show. You mentioned different orgasms, different types. Are you talking about different ways to orgasm? Or are there different orgasms that I'm not aware of here?
Yeah.
There are?
You should go listen to our
orgasms. No, here. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm just going to have you give me the answers right now. Wait, I know there's different ways to get to an orgasm. I think there's different types of manipulation. But you're saying there are different orgasmic feelings.
Yeah, so different areas can orgasm differently. So you have your clitoris, the clitoral orgasm. There's a G-spot orgasm, which is just like, I mean, there isn't technically a G-spot. Like scientifically, they haven't found it, but the area that orgasms is kind of right inside the vagina, as if you were doing like a finger coming, that it's right up in there.
Like, and then here, you also like, have you're curling your finger backwards. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing there. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yes. Come here. Motion.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Forget right. People aren't seeing us. Yeah. And then
well, you said come here. That could mean a lot of things on a sex podcast, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
and then there's a deep spot, which is more up where the cervix is. Now, not quite touching the cervix because that can be painful, but the muscles around it. So there's different ways to stimulate those muscles to get orgasms in those different areas.
I guess I've just outed myself as a sex loser that I had to ask that question.
Did you know these
things, Dirt?
I 100% did not know any of that.
You did not know anything?
I did not know there was more than one. Yeah.
All right, good.
So, well, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
You have things to explore.
You should tell my wife you're welcome. Because for Dirt and I, there's only one orgasm. It's fine. It doesn't matter how it comes. It feels the same. It's great. It's wonderful.
Yep. and to make it even more complicated and exciting is that at different points in a woman's cycle, you're going to get different types of orgasms too. Like you won't get the deep spot orgasm during a part of her cycle where the cervix is lower. So also knowing where your wife is in her cycle can also be helpful too in which different orgasms happen.
Yeah. All right, so let's get some one-off sex tips from you. I'm going to give you a bunch of things and just like bam, like hit it straight on, okay? Are you ready? Here we go.
Mm-hmm. We're ready.
Someone says, hey, I want to listen. Maybe they're listening to this podcast like, oh, geez, it's going to be an interesting night tonight when I get home. They're driving home in the car. It's like, okay, this might not be binge three shows of Netflix tonight. This is going to be interesting. So someone says, I want to try something new, but not sure how to bring it up with my spouse.
Hey, we listened to this podcast today and they were talking about three different orgasms. Did you know you could have three different orgasms? Maybe we should look into that.
Boom.
That's a good one. That's great. Take notes on that. What else? You got another one for us?
Okay. So on our Instagram account, we share a different kind of sex position every Wednesday. And so let's say you want to try a new position that we've shared and you saw. You could either send it to them, you know, through, you know, just send it. Or you could be like,
dangerous.
Hey, I saw this new position.
You send that to them. You send that to them. The spouse, like, what are you watching? What are you looking? What are you talking about? Yeah. Then they got a standard uphold. That's horrible. That's a horrible idea. I'm serious. Men, do not do this. Do not do that. Now, if you say, I was listening to these ladies, I decided just to really briefly look at their Instagram, and I was so offended by it, but I thought you might like to see it, honey. Then give it to them, then that might be okay.
Well, if you don't just send it and don't say anything. Like, I feel like you can't just do that.
Right, okay. But
to say, hey, all right, you're just save it on your phone, screenshot it, whatever it looks like for you. But to be like, hey, would you be open to trying this new position? I think it could be really fun. Like, if it doesn't work, that's fine. We can go back to what we normally do, but we can at least give it a shot. Like, I think that would be an open way to do it.
Person says, you know, things are stale in the bedroom. What's a good first shot to spice it up?
Trying a different location.
Yeah, I like that. Just assume bedroom.
That's easy. And then once you do that, then say, okay, well, now we need to switch it up position-wise.
Yeah. Kitchen counters.
That's easy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. Newlyweds going into their first sexual experience together. What do you say?
Use lube. go
have
slow.
Have a shower first.
Yeah. Spend time connecting. If it's like a wedding night, you don't necessarily have to have sex on your wedding night. I feel like everyone encourages you or pushes you, like that's just kind of an expectation. But if you guys don't feel like it, don't feel like you have to on your wedding night. Just enjoy your time together, explore each other's bodies, but don't feel pressure to necessarily have intercourse, but just kind of relax because it's been a busy day, especially if it's like your wedding night. You're probably exhausted, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Older married couples, they feel like their sex drive is slowing down.
Are they sad about that?
Should they be?
It's up to the couple. I would say if they're sad about that, then you find some other things that you find pleasurable. Maybe it's not going to be intercourse for a bit. Maybe it's going to be exploring different methods, different
manual
things.
Okay.
Like, yeah, or switching it up to being out of the ordinary. But I would say if you feel like your sex drive is slowing down and you're both not disappointed about that, that's okay. Don't feel pressure that you need to because society's telling you how much you need to be having it. You know, if you're both feeling fulfilled, and that's okay.
I just came off an experience we do called Couples Camp. We had 1,300 people, 650 couples who were there. And for whatever reason, with the different speakers and talks, sex came up way more than normal. I'm not sure why it was, but it was good. And the last session I spoke and I mentioned that, I'm not 60 yet, but when you're in your 60s, you know, things may slow down and you may not be a central part of your relationship. And this older couple yelled out, "Not true." And I was like, I don't want to dig into that. And I just got an email from them earlier on today. And they said, this is both of our second marriages and they're in their 70s. And neither one of them had any kind of sex life in their previous marriage. The woman was married to a guy who liked to talk sex all the time, but never actually would do it. And the guy was married to somebody who just was completely closed off to it, nothing. And then they found themselves here as remarried, I think it's 70, 60, late 60s, early 70s. And it was really cool. They're exploring and just having an amazing, amazing time. It did make me think, we hear about couples slowing down. How much of it is we're slowing down because of our chemicals are different than they were? And how much are we slowing down because it's just hard to keep things fresh after decades and you just rather not work hard.
I've also heard it too, that once you've been married for so long, you just enjoy each other's company. There isn't as much, I don't want to say need for sex, but you find fulfillment in more ways than sex. I don't know if that's true. I'm not old yet. But, and I mean, technically, as you do go older, both sexes, your testosterone starts to go down as you age. So that is one of the main libido things. But I've also heard it, you know, like at old folks' homes, sometimes, you know, STIs are the biggest there because it's sex is fun there.
old folks' homes are orgies. That's very, very well known and documented. They're everyone's having sex with everyone all the time. Well, not everyone. There's some people who are not. What? But no, it is. Yeah, oh, yeah. You haven't, Alana, you need to get out more. Oh, yeah. It's
apparently.
Yeah, it's.
You just talk with more old people.
I was going to say it's a big problem, but I don't know. I'm really weird on this, you know. I obviously we talked about this. I am pro not having sex till you're married for all the biblical reasons. I don't want to give those right now, but I will. It's basically this. When you get married, you're not two individuals who are in a partnership. When you get married, you are one person before God. That's the biblical understanding of marriage. That's why unity candles, you take your individual candle, you make one candle, and you blow out your individual candles. You are one before God. And sex is important, not just because it feels good, but it is a physical representation of our oneness because we are locked in and we are one. And that, by the way, is a physical representation of the spiritual reality of God weds himself to us and he inserts Jesus in us. He inserts himself in us, the Holy Spirit that's in us. And so sex is important, not just because we want to feel good, but it's important because it in some ways renews the wedding covenant, or at least renews the awareness of what I am. I am one with this person. So I feel like it is important for us to not back down and to keep pushing forward with that, because it's a spiritual thing. And when you're unmarried and you're having sex, it's fine, it's wonderful, but it's not what God intended it to be. It's not, you're not one with that person. Now, all that to say, meandering way around, was to say, in the early days I was younger, speaking to a lot of, you know, a pastor has basically, it's pretty well documented, you reach people best who are right around your age. So when I was 30, the church I'm in was, everyone was 25 to 35. You know, now that I'm 58, we've had to work really, really hard to get younger and stay younger, because naturally I'll just talk about things that people relate to and they'll who are my age, and people will not relate to that, right? So all that to say is backwards meandering. I mean, it was all the time I would talk about the need to preserve sex for marriage for all a bunch of other reasons. Now, young people in their 20s aren't having sex. They're not doing it. It's not. I long for the days I used to have to tell people don't have sex. Now it's like, you should try sinning every once in a while. You should try this. A lot better than your AI girlfriend. I'm not going to say that, but that's what's happening. I mean, I went on. Are you familiar with the whole AI girlfriend thing?
A little bit.
All right. So this is what's happening right now. And I went on. I started creating one, and just because I was curious what this whole thing is about. So what happens is, you go onto these sites and you choose your body type of who's going to be your girlfriend. You choose her age. You choose her eyes. You choose her hair. You choose her personality. You choose her occupation. You choose your dream woman and the picture. If you've seen AI stuff, it's real deal legit. Mm-hmm. And they comb. The AI combs through all of your emails, all of your calendar, all of everything. They know you. They know you better than your wife does. At least they know what's going on in your world, right? And they text you. They text you. And you have these conversations with these people, and they send you pictures. No, I've never gone all the way. I just wanted to check it out. And when it came to paywall, like I'm not doing this. So, you know, I didn't, but people would tell me about this and I'd research it. I said, let me. So when I was in my 20s, if that was an option, oh my gosh, all the baggage I came from masturbation into the marriage was one thing. Gosh, if I was having my emotional, sexual, relational needs met, of course they're not fully met. It's not a real person, but it's more than
feels like it.
Yeah, it's more than just looking at Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, then why date? Why?
Right.
Why actually?
And they're not.
Why
that's
would
right.
you pursue marriage? Yeah.
That's right. And that's why young males are not. And then when they actually do, or we had a resident sex therapist, Emma Schmidt, probably should have her on again, Dirt. She said that's her most growing practice in her practice is males in their 20s. Now, Emma's a believer, but she doesn't, bring her worldview or at least mandate her worldview on her patients. So she's got, 25-year-olds who are dating somebody and their worldview, okay, we're serious, we ought to have sex, and they can't get a hard on because thousands and thousands and thousands of time it's been their own hand in their own chosen imagery and they can't perform. This is this is what the youngest generation is up against. This is why marriage rates are atrocious. This is why our loneliness is horrible. Mm-hmm. There is just a full onslaught of pain and deception and difficulty and frustration that's being foisted on our youngest generations. And I'm glad I wasn't around at that point. I wouldn't have weathered.
Yeah. And how you think too about these like young kids now, it's like what kind of a girlfriend is ever going to be good enough for them, right? Like, if they have everything there. Insane.
No, if their goal is to simply have an orgasm, for a man, if you're having an orgasm manipulating yourself or having an orgasm somebody else, the act of the orgasm feels the same, at least to a man. I'll speak to the man. But you're not having that deep human connection. You're not having that oneness. You're not having that beautiful thing of, no other animal can anybody name. There is one, but no one knows who it is, what it is other than me, that has sex face to face. God's created us to be able to have sex face to face. Your dog, your cat. I don't know, it's all, rear.
Yeah.
It's up in the rear. And so we can't have that facial connection as one of the positions. And there's just a lot of darkness that's come upon us, and it's making it really hard to have relationships and let alone marriage and great sex. It's sad.
Yeah.
All right, last one I'll ask you for. How about this? What's your tips when one spouse wants more sex and the other does not?
Compromise. I think conversation. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say research more about spontaneous desire versus responsive desire. And that might bridge the gap a little bit. We mentioned it briefly, but, for somebody who's spontaneous, they're ready to have sex whenever. And so that's usually what we associate as the higher drive, and the lower drive is usually associated for somebody who has a responsive desire, which your body doesn't come to arousal until you're in it. So if you're the spouse that has the lower, knowing that about yourself, knowing, okay, I know this is good for us. I know that I'll start, my body will come as we start. And so it makes it easier to be okay, well, it's not that I just don't want it. It's oh no, I my body does enjoy it. We do like it. I just need to get there. Once we start, I'll be there. I'm not saying that it means that the lower drive always has to meet the higher drive. It is just like Alana said, there is compromise to it too. But that would be a good start, I think, to learn a little bit more about those two different desires.
And to are you guys pursuing each other outside of the bedroom? I think that's a good place to start as well. Is it she just wants to have sex, but she doesn't, actually want to have a conversation with me, or, we're not actually feeling connected right now. And I don't actually feel pursued in my relationship. I think having that be a part of it as well. Are you speaking your spouse's love language? Whether it's touch or, words of affirmation, all those, right? But to be able to pursue your spouse outside of the bedroom will lead to, I feel like in general, you want to pursue yourself, each other's spouse in the bedroom as well.
Yeah. Well, it'd be really great too if you could do whatever cues you can with your spouse. that would set up a non-judgmental conversation. Can we just talk about this? And all the cues, like your tone of voice, no accusation, because that's always rife for rejection and anger. But can we just talk about this? And
put it like on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you finding our sex life right now?
Yeah.
What do you think would make it better?
Yeah. How might I be able to help you? Yeah. How might I be able to help you? What would be a win for you? There are things that we haven't tried. You think we should try? What is it about me? Is there anything about me that you find unattractive or unhelpful to get you going? Those kind of questions.
Mm-hmm. Or what does turn you on? So many good. Yeah.
That good questions. Good. But the key is both of you being in the right state of mind for that kind of conversation, and both of you being on your communication game, you know, just saying, I'm not going to roll my eyes no matter what. I am not going to do everything I can to not sound like I'm accusing. It's a really hard conversation. But if two people can have be on their communication game, that conversation can be life-giving and actually produce a lot of immediate horniness as well, you know?
Yes.
All right. So how does somebody find out more about you and your ministry? Where do they go?
Yeah. Our Instagram account is just at Kingdom Sexuality. That's where you'll find us there. Our website is kingdomsexualityministry.com. And we have all our resources there. Our shop, different things. Like if you're looking for a sex challenge, that's where you'd find them. And when we release them, ebooks, etc. And then wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us, Kingdom Sexuality.
What's a sex challenge? Like thrust for 30 minutes straight? Like what's the sex challenge? Give us an example here.
Basically, just having, like, it'll be a certain amount of days and you commit to doing intimacy for those days, and our sex challenges give you prompts on what to do, what to choose from in those amount of days.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you probably heard something here today that was stimulating. No, stimulating in a positive way. Try that, whether it was something we talked about doing or something that was about talking. This is a really important thing, and I hope we're giving you some tools that are going to help your sex life be better or at least less frustrating. It's great having with you. We'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and live events over at briantome.com. My new books, a repackaged edition of The 5 Marks of a Man, and a brand new 5 Marks of a Man tactical guide are open right now on Amazon. If you haven't yet, leave this podcast a rating and review. It really helps get the show in front of new listeners. And if you want to connect, find me on Instagram at Brian Tome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.